be filled with your grace, singing all day long. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let my mouth be filled with your grace, singing all day long. I'm singing all day long.
Now get this in your spirit. Part two. Of what the Holy Ghost has got to do. Part two of what the Holy Ghost has got to do. How many of you found out that when you stick with the Holy Ghost, everything seems to turn out a little bit better? Amen?
Amen.
Turns out a whole lot better. He's a source and a supply, and he's faithful. And there's only one thing about God. He just keeps getting better. He never changes. And one of the things about God that never changes is that he keeps getting better. Tough times come and go. But the mercy of the Lord endures forever. I want to talk to y'all this morning about something really neat, and I believe it was the Holy Ghost. And I want to share it. And if you listen to this word and put it deep down inside your heart and put it in your spirit, you'll prosper and you'll do well. How many of you could stand to hear from the Lord this morning? Why don't you stand up? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Morning, I will be taught the word of God. I boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. General George Patton was a man who believed strongly that a well-disciplined soldier would not only win the war, but would reach new heights of achievement. He said that to be a good soldier, a man must have discipline, self-respect, pride in his unit and in his country, a high sense of duty and obligation to his comrades and his superiors, and self-confidence born of demonstrated ability. When the great day of battle comes, remember your training and remember above all that speed and vigor of attack are the sure roads to success. And you must succeed, for to retreat is cowardly as it is fatal. Americans do not surrender. He was saying that to them back there in that war. It was the only time throughout World War II that Patton used the word surrender in any of his orders to his troops. The only time he ever uses the word surrender to his troops, the only time they ever heard it come out of his mouth was at this time. And he said, you must never surrender. Never give up. Never give in. Never give over. Never surrender. How many want to be outstanding people? People that stand out in the crowd. How many want to be outstanding? You want something more significant than what you had. Just outstanding. How many, when Jesus comes, you want him to say, oh, come on in. You can just slip on by. At the end of the race, you make it in. Good boy. And pat you on the back. Well, we don't want those kind of people. We want people that God says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Say, I'm a well done person. Say, God likes his steak well done. He don't want nothing medium rare. He don't want it rare. He wants it well done. So don't you come out of the oven. Don't come out of the oven. Don't come out of the pressure cooker. Stay there, because God's preparing, because he wants you well done. And at the right time, he'll come and get you. Amen? Turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had made. And on the seventh day, God ended all his what? What did God end? Work. God's got a job. God works. Well, if you want to be like God, you're going to have to work sometime. How many want to be just like God? You want to be like Jesus? You want to be like the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords? I believe God's creating a people that he desires to have. And one of the things God said, hey, they want to be like me, but many people want to be like him in power. And they want to be like him in glory, but not like him in character. And one thing about God is he's a man that works. And I proved it here in Scripture. Turn to Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. How many of you like this when you find people, well, I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to sit here. The Lord's got me waiting, and you can wait. I know some people that are waiting for God to tell them what to do. They've been waiting with no job for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years, 6 months. Well, you can go to McDonald's and hand fries out the window and wait for God. But you got to do something. That's an easy job. Exodus chapter 14, verse 31. And Israel saw the great what? And Israel saw the what? The great which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Well, how many want the people to see God? How many want the Lord to be exalted? Well, one thing that they can see to let people know that God is God and ruler and in control is the works of God. A little bit of work, amen? When we get together and develop the mentality that God has and we do what God tells us to do, when we do the works of Christ, then people say, hey, look, I can see God. I can see him by his work. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. The word of God controls our life. It tells us how we should live and how we should walk. It helps us. And you got to look at everybody, men and women. How many of you want to help people grow up in God? You want to see them mature in God. Well, one of the things they're going to have to do to mature in God is work. Many people want to read their Bible all day. You need to read your Bible in the morning, close it and go to work and walk some of it out. Go to work. You know, God created Adam, and God brought us back to where Adam was, didn't he? When God saved us and Adam was, when God created Adam, he blessed him, didn't he? So that's where God's got us. We'll get there a little bit later. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. Isn't it neat that God is involved in everything? Not just when we go to church, not just when we talk about Jesus or talk about religious people, but God is involved in everything that we do, our jobs, our school, how we pump our gas, how we deal with the waitress. God is involved in all things that we do. And this is the kind of work that God does. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. So if I'm a man of God and I want to be like God, my work is perfect. Hallelujah. How many want to have perfect works like God has perfect works? God's work is not shabby. And nor should ours be as believers. You know what? If you have to do a shabby job, God didn't call you to do it. That's in everything you do. You know, if you're going to fix somebody's car, you're going to do anything you do, and you do a shabby job, God didn't call you to do it, because we do all things as unto the Lord. And we know that God didn't put anything shabby together. On Monday, he was all fired up, and he did all of his good work on the first day. Then when he got around to the beast, he said, oh, just forget it. You know, I'm going to leave a couple legs off. God doesn't do shabby works. Amen? When we work for somebody and when we work for ourselves, we got to realize that if we're going to be like Christ, we have some of his anointing on us. And that anointing that we have that belongs to God, that belongs to Christ, causes us to do our best in all things. He will give you the right job. And if you got a job to where you can't do your best, that's not where God wants you. Amen? If you got a contract and it's difficult for you to do your best and you can't let that anointing shine through by the works of your hands, you got the wrong job. God wants all of your works to be perfected in the spirit at all times, not halfway. Many people think, I just got to go to work and then I'll go to church tonight. No, you never leave the presence of God. You never leave the presence of God. You know, if you go to college, guess what? We should have a heart and a mindset to do well. And if you don't have the mindset to do well, guess what? Don't go. Because what God calls you to do, he calls you to do it with all of your might and all of your strength. And he will help you do that. Isn't that wonderful? God would never do anything that is not God's will for you to do. If you pray over everything that you do, then you can allow him to enter into everything you do, and you can do it with perfection. We think spiritually, and we make a separation between the spiritual world and the natural world, right? Well, we need to get out of that. We need to walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit. Somebody say, live in the Spirit. I want this in your heart, and you need to teach other people that and help people and deliver people. The Word delivers us from all sin, and sin is basically missing the mark of God's perfection for our life. People are missing it in places. You know, there are many things we do in our lifestyle and many ways that we live every day that voids out and nullifies what happens here on Sunday morning. People wonder why they can't get into worship or they can't get into this, because they come in here for 40 minutes or for 4 hours sometimes, and sometimes for 6 hours. And they sit up here and we preach and we sing and they wonder, nothing's happening to me. I don't understand anything. Because they come in here for 4 hours and what they did all week long for 6 and 7 days completely nullifies what they do when they get here. Do you have a lifestyle that nullifies the power of God? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor. There are some people that come to church. I mean, people have been in church for 5 and 6 years and still steal. Now, we have to tell the truth because we're teaching the Word of God here. We're teaching the Word of God, and people still steal. What do you mean they still steal? It tempts them to steal because they don't have enough, so they steal things. We had a guest speaker in here about a month or so ago, and the guest speaker was in the car with me. He said, look, there was a brother that got so touched, but after he got touched, he came and stole a book and a tape from me. Why? Didn't have any money to get anything. He could have just asked. When we live outside of the lifestyle that God destined us to live in, we're tempted to do things we wouldn't normally do. Get a job, you won't have to steal, you can buy whatever you want to buy. You don't have to steal from anybody. Many times people don't have a job and somebody else has a job and somebody's got that job and God's blessing their business. They get out and work every day. Somebody else wants to sit for 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 months and then they come to church, everybody's got to feel sorry for them, and then we got to take what we should be putting to the kingdom or be putting into our own inheritance or to our kids and we're showing it to the person that doesn't get a job. You know what that is? That's stealing. Let him that steals steal no more. Now, sometimes people get to the point to where they cannot provide for themselves. Everybody gets in a bind every now and then. A bind means that you got a job and something happened. A bind is not you haven't worked for 2 years and it's really tight and you're hungry and the Bible says you need to feed the hungry. Well, that's not a hungry individual. That's a lazy individual. You go over to India where there's so many people and they can't work, they can't provide, there's nothing there. That's a hungry person because if they did anything, it wouldn't turn anything over. See, that's what we got to learn. What is hunger? And many times you have to give people the Word of God. So you got to motivate people to do something about it, to exercise in their authority. I can say that with authority. I worked for the Salvation Army for 5 years. It's one of the best organizations you could ever work with. And there are people that are mentally unstable upstairs, and we have a responsibility to help those that can't provide for themselves. But somebody's just missing God. We got lots of preachers and don't got a meeting anywhere, you know what I'm saying? But they're just believing God sitting there. No, you need to believe God and work. And if you're waiting on God, then you can wait on God and then come and volunteer. Then go into a ministry and volunteer. You can start right away. You know, it doesn't have to be a paying job. It's just got to be something. I don't believe it's God's will for us to sit anywhere. Somebody said, God didn't call me to work. God didn't call me to work. He didn't call me to go get a job. Well, I didn't tell you to get a job. I told you to go someplace and work. Get up every morning. Don't sit in your house. You ain't no business sitting around looking crazy. Get up and do something. Either go out to the world and get some money to invest in the kingdom or bless your kids or work with your children, turn the TV off, or go out and volunteer somewhere. Go out and make a difference. Do something with yourself. It's not God's will that anybody sit around. When you sit around, you become idle, amen. You become a devil's tool. God wants you effective. And that goes for everybody. Everybody's got to work. Mama's got to work. We need to teach the children how to work. And what does mama got to work? Mama's got to work at nurturing her children, extending the kingdom of God, work in prayer, labor. You don't just sit. Many of us teach children that way. We get abundant and we get blessed and we can provide for our children. We can buy them this and buy them that. So there's no reason for them to ever learn ethics to do something with themselves. You cheat them out of life. We don't teach them that they need to produce something. They need to do something. My mom made me volunteer. The lazy's got to go. Amen? Exodus chapter 18, verse 20. And thou shalt teach them the ordinances and laws, and thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk. And the work that they must do. Isn't that amazing that a church not only has to teach them the law, they got to teach them the law and teach them the things of Scripture, but they also got to let them know the work that they must do. Do you know you got a work to do? You know what? I don't believe in retirement. I believe in refirement. Doesn't mean you get retired, you work for the world all day, and then you give up. Well, when you retire, you get busy about you work on the things you really want to work on. That's when you really get to work. You get busy in prayer, you go to work in prayer, amen, or you go to work enjoying yourself. You live until it comes. Freda Lindsay's 85 years old, more effective now than she's ever been. Exodus chapter 20, verse 9. How many of you believe in the Ten Commandments? Now, you can go out and shoot somebody because that's the old covenant. You can go kill somebody. It's okay. We're under grace. And you can dishonor your mother and your father. You can get, see how we choose what things in the Ten Commandments that we want to stick to. See, the Holy Ghost in Christ did not just completely trash that. He gave us the ability to perform it by His Spirit. He gave us help so we could do it. Here's a commandment for you. Amen. 6 days thou shalt what? Isn't that amazing? 6 days we're going to pray and confess and wait for money to fall out of heaven. 6 days, then 7 days after that, we're going to go to Brother Benny Hinn's conference. Now, sometimes God calls you to go to a conference. Or we're just going to stay in church. We're going to do all this other stuff. No, the Bible says 6 days thou shalt what? Do something. You could just say do something. I'm not telling you what to do, but you need to do something. And that's a commandment. Isn't that amazing? 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. Deuteronomy chapter 28, 12. You're going to teach people how to prosper. How many want people to prosper and do well? How many want people to have a good life? You want it to work. You know, it's so frustrating. You can teach these prosperity. We believe in prosperity. You teach prosperity principles and you see it don't catch in on this. You see it don't catch in there. You know, some people get it. Some people don't. You don't understand why. What is the problem? Why isn't it catching? Why isn't it clicking? Because it's not a magic potion where you claim some faith scriptures. But you got to apply yourself to the principles. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thee rain unto the land in his season, and to bless. What is he going to bless? All the work of your hands. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And people wonder, well, why didn't that thing happen to me? Well, you ain't got no work in your hands. You didn't give him anything to bless. He said he'll bless all the work of your hand. Well, you don't have anything for the Lord to get in there and bless. You know, you have sweet, quiet, wonderful sleep and stuff like that, but you can't pay your bills with wonderful sleep. He said he will bless the work of your hand. God wants to bless the work of your hand, but before you can give God something to bless, you need to give him something to work with. And God will tell you what to do. Isn't that wonderful? Every day he will lead you and tell you where to go and what to do. And you can say, God, I'm doing, today I'm going to go to work in your will, and I want you to bless the work of my hands. And many times, we got to learn what to put our hands on. Many people don't know what to put their hands on to become effective, but God wants to bless the work of your hands. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9, write that down. Deuteronomy 33, verse 11, write that down. So we know it's God's will for us to work. Are we completely convinced? Men and women of the body of Christ, we are completely convinced that it's God's will that we do work, that we do something with ourselves. So we've convinced ourselves there. There's something else I want to talk about right here that we got to also realize with commandment, with the final commandment of God. Turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 16. Well, you find many different things. You find people that don't work at all, and they all come to church. Then you find this other character here. You know, you find this other kind, and I got to watch out or I'll get into this. It says, in the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. You know, every day belongs to the Lord. You know, this didn't say when you feel like it. Amen. You got some problems. I mean, you know, we got problems sometimes when we just think the way that we do. We can get so carnal because we get outside of the Word and we miss it. You know, and we got to find a foundation to lay ourselves on. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them. Woo! Save that which every man must eat. You know, he can prepare his food. And that only may be done. We get people in this society, we got Christians that get so busy, so busy, so busy in their career, no time for their family. No time for the kingdom of God. You know, no, I'm just busy. I got to make this happen, and I can be a big blessing to the church. Let me tell you what. You're not going to be a blessing to the church violating the covenants and commandments of God. 6 days thou shalt work, and the seventh day thou shalt rest, and it shall be. And that's not saying you worked yourself six days, and I'm just so tired, and Sunday morning comes around. Well, I'm not going to work. He didn't say just sit up there and watch TV and rest up because you work for the world all week long. It said it shall be a holy convocation unto the Lord. You got to add that to it. Many people, summertime's a trip when you see summertime. You know, people just think, you know, it's summer and everything stops. You know, it's nice to go on vacation, but you know, we got to be consistent in what we do. There is one day that we must lay down our lives and give it to the Lord. It shall be a holy convocation unto the Lord. You got to learn to love church. You got to learn to love communion with God. I mean, you just need to go to church. You know, if you don't like this one, find one. But you need to go to church. It's a commandment of God. You need to rest and go to church. Here's another scripture. Exodus chapter 35, verse 2. 6 days thou shalt work be done. That's a commandment. It says 6 days shall work be done. Let me tell you this. Every day, 6 days a week, shall work be done. real clear. But on the seventh day there shall be a holy day. Before, it's a day of rest, it's a holy day. Somebody said, we don't have holidays, we have holy days. But on the seventh day, it shall be holy unto the Lord. Let me tell you this. If you believe that Saturday's the holy day unto the Lord, then you need to go find yourself a Seventh-day Adventist church and make it a holy day. But if Sunday's your holy day, you need to be in the house of God. It's a holy day. It's not a day. Now, I like to get out and I like to go to do the restroom and stuff like that, but this is a holy day unto the Lord. That's all he asked for. I didn't write the Bible. That's what he said. That's all he asked for. Give me a holy day. Lay yourself down for one day. You work for your boss 40 hours a week. Give four to the kingdom. Just go there. Let it be holy unto the Lord. And we wonder why we don't prosper when we violate so many things. Are you stealing God's holy day? Here's a New Testament scripture that will help you because we're in the Old Testament a lot. John chapter 6, verse 27. It said, labor not for meat that perish, but for the meat which endures forever, unto eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. We got so many people that their main goal and their main aspiration in life is to make something of themselves while they're here. The world, the world, the world, the world. They laboreth for that big house, and everything comes second, and God is the part-time job on the second. God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto thee. This is what's important, if you could hear me. Response. Responsibility. Response and responsibility. And I think we really need to make that because it's extremely important. And people are wondering, how do we get to the end? We were talking about so that when Jesus comes, he can say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You know how that will come about? Is our responding. Is our responding with our God-given ability. When God created Adam, he blessed him, and he gave him dominion, and he gave him authority. And with dominion and authority and life, if you got life within you, you have ability. If you are living, you have ability within you. You can't control the things that happen around you. You cannot control the things that come around you, but how you respond to those things, how you respond to the things that happen to you in daily life, is your lifestyle. Responsibility is when we use the ability of God within us to respond to the opportunity that God gives us to work in. And I think that's the big setback with many believers today. We get so caught up in other things and we forget to respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit. We get to respond to the world that he's called us to reach. Amen. But yet we have this life and this power and this ability within us that we do nothing with. How many of you have the life of God within you? Father, right now in this room, there are lives which you have created, Father God. There are lives that you created in this room right now, Father. People that you've loved. People that you are destined. Father, you have a destiny for them, Father God. And there's a mission on the inside of them. And within them, God, there is destiny. Lord, these are people that want to please you in all that they do, Father. They want to hear you more clearly. They want to walk out your will and your purposes, God. Father, in simplicity and in a simple way, all week long, make your will known to them, Father God, and make them quick to respond in any way, Father God, and to anything you throw at them, Father God, the right response, the right, teach them how to respond to living things and not to the things that the devil throws at them. God, you gave Adam dominion over every living thing. Over every living thing, God. Teach us how to respond to living things and not to the things the devil throws at us, Father God. Let them respond to the call that you have on their life, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Rod Counselor. It is our prayer that this message has been a blessing to you. You can receive other inspirational teachings from Pastor Rod by contacting Rod Counselor Ministries at 1-800-298-4333. You can also join us at Nations Church in the Woodlands, Texas.